Jeremiah, and we have spent we're in that, and as we go back to that, just picking up where we have just reminded ourselves, and it will help us to understand better and how to enjoy the exercise Jeremiah goes through, has gone through, and will go through in his dealing with the city of Jerusalem and the tribe of Judah. Now, we share together that when you know the Lord as your Savior, and assuming you are there, you want to understand you're a new creature, you're a brand new creation, and God says it in 18 different ways. So that we understand God gives us a unique relationship to himself that no one else has ever had and no one else will ever have in the person of Jesus Christ. They'll all honor Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God will honor the heart of all that honor Jesus Christ, no question. But the believer right now has a unique relationship to him that no one else will ever have, and we've shared that. And the second thing you need to remember, you're new. New means you're different from what you were. You aren't the same. You're brand new. And we share together that in Christ, you have all things. And that isn't just a shot out in the air of a thought. No, it's because he's God. And God is all and has all, period. And you can't be in the body of Christ. Christ is the head, without having all. So that's why we share together at some length, you have all things. All things. That doesn't mean you have them. Always there. Always there, like we shared Sunday, in the Father's house. Not out of the Father's house, but in the Father's house. It's all there, like the prodigal son. It's all there. So there's no question. So when it says it, we understand. That's why God said, you have life, you have death, you have everything. How can you not have everything if you're in Christ? If you're in the house, how can you not have everything in the house? That's what you have. Now, and in the light of that, and we share together that we need to go, and God gives us the gift of time, and we ought to go and redeem the time because the days are evil. So we have the gift of time, and we're in time, and we have everything. We're new creatures. And to add to that, just to keep in your thought, in Proverbs 16 and 33, God, you tell us that everything in the human heart is being carried by the human heart in their lap, but the whole outworking of the whole everything coming, the lot, is in the lap of the person. It's their personal life. And just think of all the statements. Take heed unto what? They'll say it over and over. Take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself. You don't read, take heed unto the other guy. No. Take heed unto thyself. Work out your own. Work it out. Work out your own. You can't do anyone else's. You can't do it. You have to get, it's all personal. And therefore the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing judgment thereof is God's. So God, with body, everything, you have all things, and you have a unique relationship to God that the others don't have. John the Baptist never had it, and the people in the tribulation millennium aren't going to have it, and you have it. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here we are, here's Jeremiah plodding along, and here we are. And we need to understand, that's why God sent to Jeremiah chapter 1, etc., 15, 1 and 15. He said, listen, if you don't do what I tell you to do, and you go against me, then everything that I'm telling you is going to happen, as it were, to them, to Jerusalem, and to the unbeliever, it's going to fall back on you, and you're going to pay a price for not honoring me. And why is that? Because the world needs to know, just like Moses. Moses, you can't enter the land, enter the land. You can't cross the Jordan. And he knew that. Why? Now Moses, and what Moses said, he was so frustrated with the attitude and the thinking of the people, he just hit the rock. That's what he did. And he shouldn't have, because God told them not to hit the rock. And so, you can't let that go. Is Moses a bad guy? No, God loves Moses. God put Moses and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration. So, no Moses. But you gotta have it. You can't have it. You gotta have an example. So Moses, you're right. They are one difficult people. But we can't let this go. So you can't cross the Jordan. You can't go. You can't lead them. Who would have led them over the 33 kings? Moses. But you can't do it. You can't do it. I got to honor it. So God, here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, same understanding, Jeremiah is told, honor me if you don't honor me. And you, because here we are, it looks, and then it makes, excuse me, it makes God look bad. Now, having said that, now look at it, if you would. So God, here we are. We wanna capitalize on all of this little bit. Over, if you would, to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And you're familiar with it. I just want to re-familiarize you with it. Now, Psalm 31, remember David, it's David, wait, you need that up front. And David goes through, David is God's man, all the way from top to bottom. And Psalm 31, and picking up in verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. Now, David, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Here's the real thing. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I want you to be able to be pleased, like our Lord pleased the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want to please you. So don't let me get sidetracked. Don't let me get shot down. I want to make it. And God, I know. What do you know, David? My times are in thy hand. The word times, what is bounded, what is defined, what is established by time. Time, daytime, nighttime. That which defines something, establishes it, gives boundaries, the beginning of time, the end of time. It gives boundaries. That's the word, times. Now, so all the times, all the courses of life, time, just time, all the time. And you think of time, and you think of the vicissitudes, is a word, you know, the unpredictable, unseeming unstable times. Up and down, off and on. Who controls the times? No one does. No one does. No one controls time. So here's the times going. And in the process, here's they are going up and down all over the place. My times are in thy hand. Now David We're going to look at David to just get that. But here's Jeremiah, and his times are in God's hands. And you and I, we're living here and now, here and now, the times of the Gentiles, Luke 21, the times of the Gentiles. The outworking, Israel, put aside, as it were, and the Gentiles are coming and going, rising to power, going down, rising up, and that's what's happening until the great image of Daniel 2 and that, where the toes of iron and clay all come together, which is where we're looking at, looking out the window, we see it coming. We see it coming. That's where we are. So our times. Well, God, here's David. So I want to remind myself that David said, my times, verse 15, are in thy hand. God, that's an awesome thing that you've done. So now, just to begin to just refresh your mind, God and time. So all the times. So everyone's in time. Everyone is in time, in the middle of their times. In other words, the people in China right now are in their times. The people in India are in their times. Everyone's in their times. On the West Coast, East Coast, they're all in their times, living their times. And they all are there. And they're just living in them. They have time to be in the middle of times, and that's what they're doing. Now, God, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does something wonderful. You're his wonderful plan and purpose, like we shared on Sunday. His wonderful plan and purpose that he had before you were ever created. He wants to fulfill. And when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God is able to exercise it in an awesome way. And now it can begin to happen. So that I've been living all my times, I get to know the Lord as my Savior, and my times, but they're different. They're different now. Because it isn't me all by my lonesome trying to handle my times. The Lord has cast into my lap. It isn't me now. I have an advantage because I'm living in the same times, in the same body, but God is going in his wonderful way and outworking his wonderful plan and purpose for my life, for your life. That's what he's doing. I need to see that. I don't need to see a lot of people around me. I don't need to see a lot of things. I don't need to have a lot of words. I just need to be able to understand, stand all by yourself out in the middle and look up at the sky or something. Look up there and God, here I am. And that's what God's working at, you. And that'll help you with work, home, school, yet all the things we try to handle. Those are your times. But I need to know that all those times around your life, work, home, school, play, God, it's all different now. That's right. Over, if you would, to 1 Chronicles and chapter 12. First Chronicles in chapter 12, and picking up, if I may, and you'll pick it up. Remember, David had all of the one, God provides in his wonderful way everything that is needed. And so David had all these different men, warriors and everything, he had everyone that, he had builders and carpenters and everything. He had what? And he had what? Verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, there's your word, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So here's 200 men of Issachar. Here's how many other men? Hundreds. But these 200 understood how to do what? Because they understood the times in which David lived. So they could direct them. They understood the times. God, you did that for David. I did. David said, my times are in thy hand. Now, having said that, And keeping that in mind, and while you're here in Chronicles, slide over, if you would, to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. And remember now, David understood, my times are in thy hand. So therefore, here's we are looking at God's wonderful provision for Israel in providing everything they need, which he does for us. Verse 11, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. So God, everything belongs. That's right. There's nothing that doesn't belong to God. You can't find anything that doesn't belong to God. Where are you going to go? You can go back. You can dream. Dream it up. Dream something up. And it will belong to God. And it has to. All creation's his. And therefore, verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, there it is, all my times are in thy hand, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. God, my times are in thy hand. David, boy, there's a whole lot of people in the world, but boy, David, you're having a wonderful little journey. Verse 13, now therefore, and so does Israel, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, this kind? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So there's no way to give you anything that isn't yours to begin with. So you say, well, I'm going to give that to God. There's nothing yours. There's nothing you can give God that isn't his already. And David knew that. A lot of people don't know that. But David did. David said, hey, listen, whatever I got, I'm going to give or not give. No, God says, listen, it's all mine anyway. Now, therefore, verse 15, For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth were as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build the temple, to build the house, to build thee an house for thy holy name, cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. Whatever we're going to do, you're going to do it. You're going to provide it, whatever you do. Isn't that great? Got it clear? David had it clear. God, it has to be for you. Without me, you can do nothing. David had it. Well, think of all the people, but how few ever grabbed that. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 29, sliding over to the end of David's life, and a comment is made. 1 Chronicles 29, picking up in verse 30. With all his reign and his might, I'll read verse 29 even to have a little better movement. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. So that's how you got your Old Testament. Verse 30. With all his reign and his might, and the times, there's your word, that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the country. So all the companies, all the countries, all the battles, all the every Philistines, the whole Goliath, everything. God, my times are in thy hand. From start to finish. Start with me, everything around me, everything that will come at me, everything that exists. I live in that time. That's where David lived. Now, David said, my times are in thy hand. Now, in the light of that, perhaps, consider David. Make believe, let's imagine we're David. And I want you, David, to give me, when you say, my times are in thy hand, and all of the times you said it, God, that's how we lived. Then I want to know, well, how did it work out, David? Give us a little help. Give us a little understanding of how did the times of God working out your will, his will in your life, how did it work out? Over now, if you would, over to Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, and picking up, if I may, and Psalm 37, and picking up verse 23, you'll catch it. The steps, this is all David now. All I'm trying to do, David is sharing with me, with you. How does it work? How does this work? Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So you mean you're going to fall down? Aha. Uh-huh. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. Now, God, David, what did you tell me? You told me that you could fall down, and he did, and you could hurt yourself and whatever, but you keep going, because my times, God, you know all about those times. I do. Over, if you would, to Psalm 32. This is all David. All I'm trying to do, David, you told me, you tell us, that the step you can fall down and God, you help us up with your hand. I do. Psalm 32, picking up, please, in verse 3. Remember David now giving you a testimony way back with Bathsheba and all of that. In Psalm 51, go from Psalm 51 to Psalm 32. Don't do it, but that's what to do. Psalm 32 was a finale. Verse 3, when I kept silent, said David, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. It was a whole year I went through without getting it right. God, I could have just laid it on the line, I would have kept going. But I didn't do it. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou, God, forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now, God, you did that. All I did is confess. But your hand, that's the hand. My times are in your hand. There are times that you provide everything, because it's all out of you anyway. And God, when we fall down, we're trying to walk before you, like Moses and Noah, and we're trying to get down the corridor of time. And in going down the corridor of time, what are we going to know? Well, we're going to know, God, that if we fall down, and we will, but God, you're right there to help us. If we're gonna walk with you, because our times are in thy hand. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 35. Now David again, I'm going to pick up, I'll read verse 35. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. Remember, think of a man fall down, God will help you up. Thy right hand hath holden me up, And thy gentleness has made me great. And the word gentleness, remember, is to bend down. For God to be able to bend down, thou answering me in your condescending to honor our humility, our humanity, and he bends down for God to come and help you. God, your gentleness has made me great. Wow. Now, hang on. So God, here's David. David. Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, picking up, please. In verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. So God, here's David. Boy, you spank David, you let him fall down, you let him get a bloody nose. That's right, I do. But you know what? David never had a thought about any other father except him, any other God except him. David's locked on. God, everything is yours. Everything we have is yours. We can give you nothing. It's all in your wonderful grace and mercy. My times are in your hand. There is no other. There is no other one to take my work, my home, my school, my play, my future. No one. Just you. My times are in thy hand. Now, Psalm 31. And you'll note again, verse 15, my times are in thy hand. So we're reminding ourselves, my times are in thy hand. So that's what you said, David, and we try to remind ourselves about that. So God, here's David helping us understand, God, you're an awesome father, and whom you love, you chasten. If I don't, I don't even bother with you. But if you want my goodwill, I'm going to deal with you. My times are in my hands, said God, about you. That's wonderful. Now, having said that, so here we are. What do we need to know? We need to know our Lord Jesus Christ, that God, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27 and that. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Uh-huh. He is. Christ is your life. He is. Christ is in God. God is in Christ. Everything I just said, it's all about you, God, where we find ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. So God, I need to know. I need to remember my fact. Where am I? I'm in Christ. When aren't you in Christ? When aren't you in Christ? Then you're always in Christ. It has to be. Christ isn't coming in and out. That's... You're getting into Nazarene and everything. You got to keep getting saved. No, doesn't do that. No, you come to know the Lord as your Savior, and he does an awesome thing for you, and you need to know that. So, God, I need to know. I need to know. When am I going to get God? What minute? What minute of today? 1/62nd minute. What 62nd minute of today was God missing from your heart? Did that come out all right? What 60-second minute was God missing if you're saved? Now, God, I need to understand that. Why are my times in your hand? Because I'm in your hand. I'm yours. You're mine. Wow. Now, so therefore knowing our Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship. And you need to know now, here and now. There and then, that's coming. But as far as we're concerned, we live in time now. So the only now we have is now. That's our now. And so here we are looking to you, God, now. I need to understand that. Knowing that God surrounds us completely. You can never be out of his presence. Never out of his presence. You're in a world, and in the world you live in, knowing all the things that are happening around you, over, if you would please, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, if we can. And you will note. Now remember, we mentioned we're in the middle, coming to the end of the times of the Gentiles. So what time do you live on planet Earth? This is when I live, and the whole world, we have a global understanding with all the communications and everything. We have an understanding of how it's all going, and it's all answering and honoring God's program, God's word, all the way to the end perfectly. Now, so here we are going, and here we are looking, and we need to know that all that surrounds us, God, you do. But what else surrounds us? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, we're certainly there, perilous, hard, hurtful, dangerous, coming down on top of you, times, hard times, difficult times, dangerous times. The times are there. Yep, difficult. Perilous times shall come. And well, we're there. So you want to know about your time? My times are in your hand, God. Well, what kind of times are they? I'm surrounded. At the end of the end, coming up before the Lord's return, and the harbinger looking at the tribulation coming up, it's treaty and Europe and all of that has to be done. Wow. And we're there. So you want to know about Jeremiah's times, David's times? Well, this is our times. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, may I pick up, please, the thought in verse 1. After speaking of the encouragement of the looking, we're looking for the Lord's return in verse chapter 4, chapter 5. But here we're looking for the Lord's return. But what do we know? The times, there we are, and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so we study, understand that at any moment we could be taken up, chapter 4, but we understand the tribulation, we understand the image, we understand what's going to 7 years, and we're looking at all of these things. It's a time. It's the times we live in. You want to know about your times? This is it. It isn't David's time. It's not Jeremiah's time. It's our time. And so God, here we are knowing God's word, knowing God's hand each day, all day, day and night. God, here we are in the secular, in the sacred, And here's the problem of our day is to God, people don't want to bother with you. They don't want to put you in anywhere. So what are we going to call the day? Well, politics, call it what you want, luck, fortune, fate, chance. They have all those words that he used. And we lean upon others, hoping things will work out, because our times are in the hands of others. And then we're looking for others, and in a real sense, from a human sense, that's true, in the hands of others. But all the others are subject to his. And after all, you're bought with a price. And no one tells God what to do. And no one tells God how to do it. No one. So if you're his, so therefore God says, you remember to the demons and the bad guys, they know it. The rest of them don't. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, God, and in looking at all you're doing and the world that's out there that we live in, and at, for better or worse, a given day, a given week, a given hour, God, here they all are taking place in an awesome, awesome way. And God, we need to know this so that we aren't dreaming and we're being realistic. If Jeremiah isn't realistic, he can never handle it. And we shared together 100 times or so. Remember the fact, you cannot be a biblical optimist unless you are a biblical, you cannot be a biblical optimist unless you're a biblical realist. You can't do it. It won't work. You have to be real. You don't make believe about anything. You see things and then you look to God. And God, that's where you get your hope. Because it doesn't matter. God, are you governed by what's our times? Our times? No. God's governed by his time. And our times are where? In the world's hands or in his hands? They're in his hands. The world doesn't have you in their hand. The work doesn't have you. Family doesn't have you. God has you. And that's what you learn. And you do it. Understand it. You say, well, I didn't do anything. No, you don't even move. All you did, think of Sunday school, is reckon it. Reckon. That's why you get those words. Reckon, reckon, reckon. Calculate. And do it. I got it. I didn't even move. I just made my mind adjust to the facts. That's all. Everything's the same. That's different. Now, so therefore, God, as we look over to Psalm 9, Psalm number 9, back to David. And in Psalm number 9, you will note, please, picking up, if I may, picking up the thought in verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Means to be all broken up, banged up, battered up, all broken up, bruised, broken in pieces is the verb, oppressed. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the times of trouble. Verse 10, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, and for thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that forsake thee. That seek thee. So God, the human heart that's seeking thee, God, you're going to be very, very dependable, absolutely, absolutely dependable. Now, while you're here and having that, my times, on your way, we'll do it quickly, over to Psalm 34. And Psalm 34, David, verse 1. I will bless the Lord, because here's what I need my instructions. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to thank God, thank God. That's what it says. In everything what? In everything give thanks. Why on earth would you say that? Because my times are in his hand. So that means someone's on top of everything. Who's on top? God is. God's on top. I got to be thinking right now. So therefore, having that little bit in mind, over to Psalm 62. And you probably know this one. Psalm 62, David again, help me. Psalm 62, 8. Trust in him. I'm just saying over and over, just banging home. What was your lesson, Dave? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a refuge in a time of trouble. For the oppressed, broken up in pieces. It doesn't matter. He's there. Our times. You let me fall down, break my nose, that's fine. That's fine. God will help me up and keep going. That's what you do. Wow. Over, if you would, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and what we read, in the light of my times are in thy hand. And Psalm 31, verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I want to honor you. That's all. That's what the prodigal son came back in Luke 15 and that. God, he had to discover the Father's love and all the benefits. And he honored the Father. That's what he had to learn to do. He didn't. Well, he was there. He could have. But like a lot of things, we don't. You don't appreciate things. You don't appreciate what people do necessarily until a given time. And then you wake up and say, boy, that my father and mother, depending on the situation, did everything. And boy, and you didn't appreciate it till you get older. And you realize when you get old enough, then you go through the same thing and realize what they had to do with you when you were growing up. And we learn. Now, so here we are looking, Psalm 31, and in verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust thee, in thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. God said, God, you're right there, verse 21. Blessed is the Lord. Wow. God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. That's a little bit. Remember David, example for us. My times are in thy hand, and you understand a little better, maybe, that just means for general living, and God's right there as we grow and know and learn and come and go and etc. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And in verse 7. 1 and 7. Acts 1, 7. God helping them. Remember, they're looking for the Lord's return, Lord's exodus, actually, his ascension to heaven. And in the chapter 1, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for us to know. Remember, they want to know how things are going to go. How things are going to go. But what's going to be? How's it going to be? When is it going to get like the kingdom, and etc.? Verse 6. Verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8. But you aren't going to know God, and you know all this as you think about it. What happens if God would just tell you what's going to happen exactly next Thursday? Would you want to know? God doesn't tell us. Sufficient of the Matthew 6:34. Sufficient is the day, today, the evil thereof. You've got enough problems. Just work on today. Forget tomorrow. God, so here we are looking. And in the process, God, you're going to give us whatever. And you know. I do know. I know. But you don't know. And you'll be glad you don't know. The thing you do know, your times are in my hand. So whether you wake up tomorrow morning, you thank me. You'll just be looking to me. That's what I want you to do. You don't have to figure it all out. My Father knows the times. Therefore, verse 8, But you shall see power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in the Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Now, in closing, over if you would, to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you call... Be holy, I am holy, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, pass the time of school, work, home, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, a healthy, holy, happy reverence for my work and my will. I'm doing what I'm doing. I want you to respect and honor me as I outwork your times that are in my hand. That's what I want you to do. That's all. That's all I want. I want you to do that. Pass this time of your sojourning here. What about tomorrow's school and the work and home? And pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Sufficient is the evil. You got enough today. Just honor me today. You're out working moment by moment, looking for my soon return. And in the meantime, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and you'll be able to answer everyone that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you. You're going to give him an answer. Listen, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And he took over. He gave me his wonderful life for it to be outlived on planet Earth. And as I outlive that life, I understand my practical, my times are in his hand. And God, there's nothing, no one, anyone, anywhere, anyhow can do to change or alter your wonderful will for my life. The lot is cast into my lap, but the whole outworking of it belongs to you, God. That's awesome.